going to look at the last few verses here in Acts chapter 5. I'm taking the title from the words found in verse 42. Acts chapter 5, verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. They were constantly, always preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why did they do so? Well, you remember, turn back over to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, when they were commanded before, verse 18, Acts 4:18. They called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it's right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you, for we cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. Again, if you look over in Acts chapter 5, verse 20, Acts chapter 5, verse 20, when the angel of the Lord broke these men out of prison, there was a jailbreak. And verse 20, the angel of the Lord, the messenger from God's throne, said, go, stand, and speak, Acts 5:20, in the temple to all the people the words of this life. And then Peter declared again in verse 29 of Acts 5, we ought to obey God rather than men. And he preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not just preach about the Lord Jesus Christ. They preached him and him crucified. Now, let me give you a couple examples of that. Turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, whenever Peter had an open door, or Paul or the other apostles had an open door, they always lifted up the name of the Lord Jesus. In Acts chapter 4, verse 10 this time, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, neither which is become the head of the corner, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. They preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give you another example. Turn to Acts chapter 8. When the eunuch was returning from Jerusalem, reading the prophecy of Isaiah, and God sent him a gospel preacher. In verse 34, the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? You got it? Acts 8, verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus, the Savior. So they preached Christ. One other example, if you'll turn to Acts chapter 11, and we're going to see this all the way through our study. Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Now then, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus, Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecian, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. So they didn't just preach about him, they preached him. Now, one other example. You don't mind turning, do you? Acts 28, the last verses in Acts 28. I believe it's chapter 28, is it not? Yeah, chapter 28. When Paul was in prison for 2 years, verse 30, in his own hired house, received all that came into him, unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness, all confidence, forbidding no man. So these apostles were preachers of the Lord Jesus Christ, setting forth his person setting forth his work. Paul and the other apostles and all the Old Testament prophets all preached Christ as everything in salvation. Everything in salvation found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now don't turn. Let me just read this one to you. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. What is the foundation of the apostles and prophets? Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. That's the foundation that God has laid in Zion. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, him crucified, his person, and his work. Now, look back to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. When they heard the apostles preach the gospel, him, verse 31, hath God exalted with his right hand to be prince and savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin, and we're witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Verse 33. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart, and they took counsel to kill these men. Many of these leaders of the Jews, when they heard the message of Peter exalting the Lord Jesus and saying that there was salvation in no other than the Lord Jesus Christ, these men weren't indifferent. They got angry. They got mad. They got fighting mad. More than that, they got killing mad. They were so mad, so angry at them and at God. They were ready to kill God's servant. They were enraged to murder these apostles just like they murdered the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember back in Acts chapter 3 where it says you denied the Holy One, verse 14, and the Just One, and you desired a murder to be granted unto you. They said, give us Barabbas, and you killed the Prince of Life whom God raised from the dead. Wow, you killed the Prince of Life. I thought of this scripture. I want you to turn and read this one with me, and this will help us make this point. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. You remember that movie that came out years ago? I didn't go see it. I don't recommend that you go see it. The Passion of the Christ. You remember that movie? And they showed in that movie how the Jews were so angry and enraged at the Lord Jesus Christ that the Jews turned him over to the Romans to be crucified. And that movie portrayed the Jews in a very clear light as being guilty of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a bunch of those Jewish people got upset. They didn't like that movie. But look what it says right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Jesus Christ. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus Christ and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God. They're contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentile that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always. For the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. They're guilty of the blood and the murder and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But remember this. They gathered together for to do only what God's hand and God's counsel before determined to be done. Yeah, they did what they wanted to do. They did what their wicked heart inspired them to do, but they only completed the purpose of God in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look at verse 34 and following. When they heard that, all these council, this senate, they were so filled with rage and hatred against these men and against the Lord's Christ and against God himself. The carnal mind is enmity against God. But one among them, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, commanded to put forth the apostles for a little space, and said unto them, ye men of Israel, you take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as concerning these men. Let's not be so quick to kill them. For before, he said, the days there rose up Thutis, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom the number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as were as obeyed him or believed him, they were scattered, and it came to nothing. The other example he gives is that of Judas of Galilee. In the days of taxing, drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, they were dispersed. And now I say, refrain from these men, and just leave them alone. For if this counsel or work be of men, it'll come to nothing. But if it be of God, you can't overthrow it, lest you fight against God. To him they agreed, and when they called the apostles and beaten them, commanded them they should not speak in the name of the Lord Jesus, they let them go. So these two men, and you can see his reasoning, these two other men, Thutis and Judas, they died and their followers just were scattered. He's thinking in his mind, we killed the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if this thing is just of men, like Judas and Thutis, it's going to fizzle. It's going to die out. The followers will be dispersed and scattered, and we'll be done with this thing. If the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ be of men, it will come to nothing. If Jesus of Nazareth is a mere man, it will come to nothing. But he's not a mere man. If the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is of God, and it is, you cannot stop or hinder the cause and will and eternal purpose of God. We can safely conclude that the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified, raised from the dead, is the absolute guarantee of the salvation of God's covenant people. He said, all that the Father has given to me will come to me, and those that come to me, I will never cast them out, and they will never, no, never perish. Now, all these 2,000 years later, the gospel of Christ is still what God has ordained to save sinners. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, because truth never changes, God never changes, the gospel never changes, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever, forever. You cannot fight against God and win. Just lay it down. As my dear pastor used to say, lay down your shotgun. Lay down your shotgun. You can't fight against God. What's that old saying? In government and civil government, you can't fight against City Hall. Well, you can probably fight against City Hall, but you can't fight against God. You can fight, but you'll never win. Surrender. Surrender. You'll never win. Many have tried to fight against God and many have failed. God always wins. He knows nothing of defeat. You remember what he told young Saul of Tarsus? It's hard to kick against the purpose of God. We're going to see his conversion in chapter 9. When God hinders, none can work. When God works, none can hinder. His purpose, his will be done. God who has begun a good work in you, he'll finish it. What begins in grace will end in glory. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. They beat these men, as it says in verse 40. They beat these men. Now, this beating here is a lashing with a whip. Now, according to Jewish law, it was to be 40 stripes. Remember, you couldn't whip a man more than 40 times. So they'd always just whip him 39 just to make sure they wouldn't violate the law. These men were severely beaten. Many people who were scourged under the law died having their back lacerated and their inward parts just oozing out. They beat them severely and they commanded them never to mention the name of the Lord Jesus Christ again. Now you think of this. What if they took Don Fortner, Todd Neibert, Gabe Stoniker, Frank Tate? What if they took 12 of God's servants that you know and tied them up in the public square and beat them and lashed them and commanded them never to mention the name of Jesus Christ one more time? What do you reckon those men would do? Now, they'd suffer tremendously, but they would go on preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Better to obey God than to obey men. Better to obey God and disobey men. They were commanded never to preach the gospel again. Although their bodies were racked with great pain, their hearts were full of great joy. They did not enjoy the agony of body, but they rejoiced in the Lord Jesus Christ always. Verse 41, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing, counted worthy to suffer for him. Tell you, we don't know anything of suffering for the gospel like the early church did. Sometimes I almost think we ought to suffer more for the gospel than we do. I've been criticized a little bit and I get my feelings hurt, but that's okay. But these men were publicly beaten and commanded never to mention his name again. What are they going to do? They departed and they rejoiced and daily in the temple. And in every house, they just kept right on preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice in the Lord. Those who will live godly in the Lord Jesus Christ shall suffer persecution. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they went right on preaching. They continued daily in the temple, in public and in every house in private. They went out doing what the Lord said. You remember what he said? The risen Lord said to those men, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You go and preach. Go and preach. God will bless the preaching of the word. They ceased not to teach and preach. That is to declare the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there a distinction between teaching and preaching? I think teaching is preaching, and I think preaching is teaching. I think it's synonymous. We teach and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord give us the same determination to preach the Lord Jesus Christ everywhere and all the time when God gives us an open door. I had a friend of mine who lives in Rock Valley, Iowa, who was invited. He's a pastor of a church. Many of you know him. And he was invited to give a speech at the graduation. They have a name for it. I can't remember what they call it. But he went there and preached the gospel. He went there and preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're to do. God's preachers are about preaching the gospel. Now, question is this. What is it to preach the gospel of Christ? What is it to preach the gospel of Christ? Well, let me give you four or five things. First of all, is to declare in plain terms who the Lord Jesus Christ is. It's to declare in plain terms who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He is totally and really the eternal God. We make no apologies for it. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He is both Lord and Christ. He is really and truly and totally God, forever, eternal, and yet the God-man mediator, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Lord Jesus Christ is God, and He is a real man. Bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, married in one blessed person. He's the God-man mediator. And that's what we preach. As the God-man mediator, He is the Lord that we must answer to. He is the Christ of God, anointed in all of His office as prophet, priest, and king. Call His name Jesus, Savior. He shall save His people from their sin. We preach who He is. God Almighty, manifest in the flesh. Secondly, we declare what he accomplished. What did the Lord Jesus Christ accomplish when he came and when he died? In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. When the Lord Jesus Christ died for the sins of his covenant people, he did not die to make salvation a possibility. His death wasn't an attempt to put away sin. He made an atonement for the full satisfaction of the sin of God's people laid upon him. We call that definite atonement. We call that particular redemption. The Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for his sheep. He accomplished all of our salvation by the sacrifice of himself. Not with the blood of bulls and goats. Our great high priest didn't bring that typical animal sacrifice. He brought his own blood and obtained for us what? Eternal redemption. Eternal redemption. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now, did he get the job done? Did he try to put away sin? Did he try to save somebody? The Christ of God accomplished all God's purpose in saving his people. He said on Calvary's tree, "It is finished." When he by himself purged our sin, he sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. It's to declare, what is it to preach the gospel? Declare who he is, and then what he did. Honored the law of God, fulfilled all scripture, satisfied God's holy justice, put away our sin, justified us by his blood, sanctified us by his spirit, and had glorified himself in our heart, that we might believe the gospel. Now, what is it to preach the gospel? Thirdly, we declare why he suffered and why he died for us. Why did he die? Wasn't there some other way that God's justice and his law could be satisfied other than the Lord Jesus Christ dying? Wasn't there some other plan or some other means or some other method? No, because God is holy and God says the guilty must die. The guilty must die. The law of God must execute the guilty to be satisfied. That's exactly why the Lord Jesus Christ died. Having taken our sin to himself by an act of God, laying our sin upon him, the Lord Jesus Christ fully put away our sin to enable God to be just and the justifier. To enable God to be a just God and Savior. That's why Christ died. To fulfill all scripture, to satisfy God. He died for our sin. How did he die? Paul said, for our sin according to the scripture. He said, I am God, beside me there is none else. I'm the only just God and Savior. You got the first three? Who he is? God Almighty manifested in the flesh. What did he accomplish? Put away our sin, establish righteousness for us, satisfy God's law and justice. Why did he die? According to the eternal purpose of God, him being delivered by the determinate counsel of God you have taken and by wicked hand have crucified and slain the Lord of glory. Okay, fourthly, where is he now? The tomb's empty. They took him down from the tree and they put him in the tomb. Because he really died for our sin according to the scripture. And having put away our sin, being delivered for our offenses, he was raised again the third day. You know why? Sin was put away. Delivered for our offenses and raised again because he did indeed justify us. Having no sin, the grave, death, and the law had no claim on him. Raised up from the dead, and we're raised up in him. Where is he now? Seated on the throne of glory. You remember in verse 31 of Acts 5, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be prince and savior, for to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sin. Seated on the throne of glory, giving salvation freely unto his covenant people. Who he is? what he did. Why? Fifthly, we declare that he's coming back again. You remember in Acts chapter 1, over here in verse 11 of Acts chapter 1, the angel from heaven, after the Lord Jesus Christ ascended to glory and seated on the throne of God, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Remember, our Lord said in John chapter 14, John chapter 14, "You believe in me, believe also in God. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. Matter of fact, the scripture says this: he's on his way. Revelation 1 verse 7, "Behold, he cometh. Behold, he cometh." What does that mean? That means he's on his way. When's the Lord coming back? When it pleases him. But he is coming back. And he is going to receive us unto himself. What is it to preach the gospel? Let me give you two more things. What is it to preach the gospel? There was an old preacher back in London, England, by the name of Roland Hill. You ever heard of Roland Hill? And he said this: every time we preach the gospel, we should preach the three R's. The three R's. You remember what the three R's are? Ruin, redemption, and regeneration. The three R's. Every time we preach the gospel, we preach ruin. These men, the way they acted, manifest what we are, sinners, guilty through and through. Redemption. What do guilty sinners need? Redemption. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. And what do we need? God has done a work for us, but he must do a work in us. For salvation is a heart work. We preach regeneration by the Spirit of God. Salvation is not reformation. Salvation is not turning over a leaf and starting over. Salvation is a new creation. It's God making us new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God raising us up from the dead. So I've given you a lot here. The three R's. You remember the three R's now, right? There'll be a test later. Ruin, redeem, regeneration. Here's one other thought. What is it to preach the gospel? The apostle said this: "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Now, Brother Mahan used to give this outline, and we could preach the rest of the afternoon on this outline. But let me give it to you quickly. What is it to preach the gospel? Tell the truth about God. God is holy. What is it to preach the gospel? Tell the truth about man. He is a sinner, none righteous, no, not one. What is it to preach the gospel? Tell the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, what he accomplished for us. And to tell the truth about how God saves sinners by his grace alone. Now, there is a good gospel track out there on the table entitled "What is it to preach the gospel?" by Brother Mahan out there on the table. Now, I'm going to close with this. I was in Fairmont, West Virginia on Thursday night this last week and preached for Marvin Stoniker. Invited me to go up there to Katy Baptist Church and to preach. Before Brother Marvin came there to pastor that church, there was a preacher by the name of Scott Richardson who preached there for 50 years. You probably heard of him. You probably met him. Scott Richardson. Scott Richardson. He'd been here before and preached, but he was a dear, dear friend of Brother Mahan. And he preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in no uncertain terms, constantly, faithfully, always. Well, I heard this story. I'm going to give it to you. But I think it illustrates. They cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Someone complained to Brother Scott one time after the service, and they said, "All you do, I've been coming here for several years now, and all you do is preach Christ. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. What he did, where he is, why. All you do is preach Christ, Christ, Christ. You know what he said? Will you put that on my tombstone? Put that on my tombstone. I preach Christ. That's why Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. You can add that to my list on my tombstone, okay? I've got a pretty good list. You can add that. He preached Christ. He preached Christ. He preached Christ.